Thank you for listening to today's episode of the Auburn Daily Podcast. It is your host, Alex, aka at Auburn Memes. Joining us today is at Brandy Mack. We want to both thank you for wherever you listen, whether it be on wherever you get your podcast or on the YouTube channel, wherever that may be. If you don't already, make sure you like, subscribe, whatever the button says these days. Make sure to leave us a review. All that stuff, super, super helpful for the channel. Share it, tell your friends. We're trying to grow this thing, make it awesome. Of course, any feedback, any suggestions, anything you loved, hated about the show, shoot, find me. Leave me a DM on Twitter. I guess you can find me there at Auburn Memes. Of course, you can find our guest at Brandy Mack on Twitter, at Brandy Mack with three E's. Now, today, we are going to be talking about a little bit of basketball. It is, I don't know if you call it, is this like the official season? Is this kind of like basketball season eve? I don't know. It was a scrimmage that was open to the public. We had a practice that was open to the public 2 weeks ago. Basketball is in the air. We had an actual cold front come through, so all those freeze warnings that football's been putting out actually is quite topical, because I tell you what, it is getting chilly outside, and that's not just like for football marketing. It's actually cold. So but what does cold weather mean, Brandy? That means basketball's here. I'm gonna tell you what, winter came for AUM tonight.
Hey, it really did. So Auburn tonight played in their scrimmage against AUM, and they beat them 102-66. Love to see that. For those that didn't know, there was also a secret scrimmage on Sunday against Furman, the team that upset Virginia last year in the tournament, and we scored 110 points per sources in that game. Didn't get a full box score from that, but it was leaked that we won with 110 points in that game. So this team has some offense. They have some firepower on that side of the ball.
We're all about Virginia losing, am I right?
Hey, we love it.
we love it. That will never not be a problem. My score prediction for this, I guess my guilty pleasure this season has been anytime Zach Blackerby is sending out these score predictions for anything, I have to reply. I said the score prediction was, mine was 69-97. I was not too far off on both teams. I'm going to pat myself on the back. 66-102, that's three off for AUM. That is five off for Auburn. I think that's pretty good by and large. Nobody in the replies was – Lonnie was kind of close. He said 67-104. I was closer. Everybody else, not quite. Sorry, guys. Wait, hold on.
I didn't reply to that one, but the official account asked for score predictions, and I said Auburn by a million. So
there's an official account. I need to go find that one.
The official Auburn basketball account. They wanted to run up some numbers today so they could release the Kessler hype video for the jungle before the game. So
it makes sense, but I think before we get too much into the weeds of this one, I think we look back at last year's scrimmage, because you have some guys on the team from last year, and of course you get a lot of new additions, which will be quite the storyline for this episode. But last year's score was against UAH, I believe, University of Alabama at Huntsville, and that score was actually 69, the nicest number of all numbers, and then to 87, which Auburn ended up scoring. So that game last year was technically a little bit closer. I was at that scrimmage last year, and I know you had some breakdowns of that you wanted to get into, but some points of note that I wanted to kind of get at of just sort of what I'm going to really, I guess the narrative there, and some people are talking about this on Twitter, is a good thing. Scrimmages are just that. They are a scrimmage. They don't necessarily matter. They're not necessarily going to be reflective of what we're going to see for the rest of the year, or even this game against Baylor. So, for example, last year, one of your highest, just barely missing the mark here, one of your highest minute players with the most minutes was Johan Traore with just under 22 minutes. We obviously saw probably after game five, he probably didn't get that 22 minutes combined for the rest of the season, hardly. So, once upon, you know, they thought he was going to get a whole lot of minutes. Trey Donaldson also got a whole lot of minutes that game too, and it really took him a while before he started to get his minutes rolling. And the rotation, I forget exactly what the starting rotation was that game, but it was a lot different than what it ended up being as far as the minutes for once we got into season. And Stretch got 13 minutes, to kind of put it in perspective for what things looked like there. And that was, if I remember right, I'm double checking my stat sheet here. Yeah, Broome did not. I don't think Broome played that. Oh, no, he did play that scrimmage. Was Dylan out that scrimmage? No, he did too. No, okay, I'm losing my mind. Yeah,
Dylan and Broome played. Janai had around 10 minutes or so.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, fun fact, obviously, all of us know that Chaney played for Huntsville last year, so he played against us in that scrimmage. And in that scrimmage, he had 14 points for UAH. In our scrimmage tonight for Auburn, Chaney had 14 points. So kind of cool there, a little fun fact.
Yes. So this technically would actually be the second scrimmage Chaney Johnson has played in Auburn Arena, just not for Auburn. But yeah, he played just over 24 minutes, went 6 for 14, missed a two-three field goals. Or sorry, he was 6 for 14 field goals, 0-1-3, and then he was 2 for 3 for free throws. And then he was all over the place with rebounds, and he actually got fouled a lot. Played very physical, had some assists. And he had recorded no steals, and he had some blocks in there. So, unfortunately for Chaney, though, he did have a -14 on the plus-minus, which was kind of chalk for how that team did. Now, I love the plus-minus stat, and the plus-minus stat last year, there were actually some negative plus-minuses in there. What was there not any of this year? Actually, you don't know because you can't see it. But can you?
I do know it though. there was no players tonight in the scrimmage with any minus minutes out on the court or total
right
minutes.
So my guy, as I have avidly said, being a Chris Moore truther, led the team with a +28 and plus minus, which scrimmage any game, that's nuts. You take that when you can get it. And I'm just going to say this, that is not uncharacteristic for Chris Moore. And why Chris Moore gets the flack, and I will defend Chris Moore for the entirety of the season, so buckle up if you listen to the show regularly. This won't be the last time. He's not the flashiest guy. He's not going to go out there and make the highlight reel, but that stat right there, along with all the others, he's incredibly balanced and incredibly efficient. Now, the only point he was not great in tonight was shooting from deep, but, hate to say it, unless your name is Denver Jones, everybody was bad from shooting from deep. We got to talk about that. But Simo had a great efficient night. He got 4 rebounds. He got a block in there. Or no, he didn't get a block. Sorry. What did he end up? Oh, 3 assists. I'm rusty on my basketball reading stats here. I used to be able to do this with my eyes closed. Played for 22 minutes. Assist, rebounds. And he was 2 for 5 for free throw, and like I said, deep, not great. But like I said, plus minus. And a plus minus is really going to show what you're doing defensively. And unless you're actively stealing the ball or blocking, it's kind of hard to, like, there's not a category that says, like, was on lockdown coverage on this guy on the stat sheet. So that's kind of where you have to look at the eye test there. But a good night for Chris. I know a lot of people have been kind of wondering how he was going to do with the three. I even saw some people, you know, kind of snickering that he was going to start at the three. And like I said, Chris Moore truther, all about him there. Love his hustle. But speaking of hustle, we got some bad news for tonight, and we're hoping it is not long-term bad news.
That's Janai going down tonight, basically right when the game started. It looked like, at first it kind of looked like a hand injury, the way that he was laying on the ground and he was holding his hand, but came back out after going to the locker room and had his shoulder iced. He looked to be in good spirits on the bench. I think it is probably going to be okay. I would assume if it was, you know, an extreme injury, he probably wouldn't have come back out and sat on the bench. But yeah, Janai did not play for a long time. He played for 3 minutes tonight before he got injured. So that kind of sucks. But, you know, hey, at least it happened in a scrimmage and not, you know, yep, our first game against Baylor. So hopefully we get some answers before we play Baylor in 6 days.
God bless the unnamed hero that was streaming the game on Twitter in like whatever the lowest.
That's my dog. Sorry, guys.
Hey, I think it's War Eagle and Bark, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
She is named after Aria the Eagle. So.
Oh, there we go. So we were able to get a little bit of a very grainy preview of the game for the first half. But when I say very grainy, like we saw things happening, but the specifics were a little rough. Couldn't see numbers too well. did unfortunately see Broome go down pretty early. And I think it's kind of safe to say, if you're looking at, if you're kind of taking your early season bets, Broome's probably going to be your best player, most important player by and large for the entirety of the season. There were some reports that he came back out of the locker room with his shoulder taped with ice. So it seemed to be a shoulder injury on his right arm. We are hoping that that is something that in the next few days he can rest and rehab through. That will not be a long lingering thing. Broome's going to be a very important guy. You know, he doesn't want to go down like that. And especially in a game that was essentially just a glorified practice. That really, really stinks. And I think that just kind of sends a big message of staying healthy is incredibly important. Of course, speaking of healthy, Aiden was not dressed out for this game either. He had, I believe there was some type of ankle injury. There were a lot of reports going around that he was seen in a boot around campus. I think him not playing tonight, not dressing out, kind of validates those.
There was reports of him, pictures and videos of him shooting around in street clothes before the scrimmage tonight started. So that's encouraging that it's potentially not a long-term injury. I can't imagine he would have his boot off or be jumping around and shooting and messing around with his teammates if it was serious. So I think a little bit of positivity there is needed for some people who may have some PTSD for, you know, some high caliber point guards that come into Auburn that have gotten injured in the past. So it doesn't seem to be, you know, entirely serious. So hopefully the same can be said about Janai as well.
Right. So let's talk about some surprises and storylines. So I want to reflect last year just a little bit on the scrimmage. So if you look at point totals by both teams, the leader in points last year was none other than Jalen Williams. Jalen Williams had 11 points this scrimmage. He had 16 last year, followed up on Auburn with 12 by Wendell Green, and then you had 11 by Flan, 10 by Trey Donaldson last year, who had 4 this year. So interesting with playing nearly 6 more minutes. What's interesting, though, like I said earlier, Chaney had 14. So he would have been the second highest leading scorer on Auburn's team had those points moved over. Now, like I said, Trey Donaldson played a lot of minutes. He was doing a little bit more at the one. And here's what I'm going to say, because this is something that Auburn did not have a lot of last year, especially the beginning of the year with Wendell. And this was something that I very much was kind of, it would get me grit my teeth a little bit. I'm not going to lie. Last year's scrimmage, Wendell had, I think, 3 assists. For most of the season, he was averaging somewhere, I want to say it was like in the 3s of assists per game. Wendell, as we know, he played a little too much hero ball. And I think because of that, he wasn't facilitating enough. And I think that was part of the struggles that Auburn had last year was because of that. Our guy Trey got 8 assists tonight.
Killed it out there.
Didn't put it up on the points, but that's what we like to see. And I think that can be a sign of good things to come. I'm sure a lot of that one position was kind of messed up with not having Aiden in there. So who knows how the rotation and things would have happened. Also, he was a stealing machine. Him and KD respectively combined for 7 steals. That was 4 for KD. That was 3 for Trey. It felt like they had 100. They were just all over the place getting that ball away from him. Obviously, steals, very important. We love that stat. Now, let's go to a player who was a big surprise for you, I know, and probably a big surprise for a lot of people. Let's just see if you can read my mind.
On what side of the ball?
Auburn side of the ball.
All sides of the ball.
You said it beforehand. You said, oh, I did not expect.
Maybe it was Chad Baker-Mazzara on defense that I was talking about. Yeah.
We'll work on that chemistry as we keep going.
Well, there were a couple of people that surprised me tonight. So I know you talked about Jalen in the scrimmage last year, and Jalen really surprised me just overall tonight from the grainy live stream on Twitter that I was able to see and just from his generic box score. He had 4 blocks tonight. Yep. And he played really aggressive out there. And, you know, I think a lot of critics of Jalen's last year were, you know, you can tell he's a shy guy. Like, he doesn't really get out there and get in people's faces. Kind of seems like he has a new, you know, a little bit of aura, some energy this year.
He'd have his moments. That Alabama game in Tuscaloosa last year, he fouled out of that game and probably could have, he probably got away with 5 more. They just didn't call So, you know, he'd have his moments, and he did have him, KD, and Chaney all led with three fouls each, led the team there. So, and that's something the team struggled with last year. So that's something, obviously, Broom is too, but like I said, he didn't play enough to do it. But that's something Jalen, because, you know, Jalen's a clutch guy.
Yeah, I think he looked like he had a little bit more energy and aggression in him tonight. I hope we get to see some of that against Baylor and the rest of the season. And
I thought I saw some reports saying that he lost a little bit of weight and kind of like slimmed down but bulked up a little bit.
Oh, maybe he did. I don't know. I didn't see that, but you could be right.
Yeah, I thought I saw somebody say that he lost a little bit of weight and tried to put on some, like, you know, get a little bit more lean for this season. I believe they said that was Jalen. To kind of help some of his speed a little bit more, get a little bit more agile. I'll have to double check on that, but I thought I remember seeing that report. So, because there was some chatter that's like maybe this will be a different Jalen. Now, one thing that was uncharacteristic for him is he's a good 3-point shooter. He was 0-for-3 tonight.
Oh, the 3-point shooting overall, besides like you mentioned earlier, Denver Jones was crazy, not good at all, but. When you think about our 3-point percentage and then you go and look at what our field goal percentage was, it makes me feel a little bit better.
Because Jalen last year was 35.5% from the three, which is good.
Yeah. And tonight we were 20% from behind the arc. And you would think being 20% exactly. from behind the arc, we wouldn't score 100 points, you know, given it as just a scrimmage game. But field goal percentage was 49% from a team perspective. That's pretty dang good. So obviously 3-point shooting, sometimes it can just be off nights and can be really streaky. We'll see if this is going to be a trend once the season really gets going, but definitely want to fix that up and tighten that up there.
There were a few in the grainy feed that I saw that they were kind of getting rebounds and just kind of hawking them out there and getting rebounds and hawking them out there. One thing it didn't seem like in the very grainy stream, it didn't look like they were running a whole lot of plays. It didn't look like there was kind of a whole lot of meat to it, which you don't want to do, especially with Baylor coming up. You don't want to give away anything. Right. So maybe we can write off a little bit of that to that.
Yeah, I agree. And honestly, I'm pretty shocked that Chad Baker-Mazzaro didn't get a single 3-point shot up, but he still scored 15 points. And he wasn't quite 50%. He was 3-for-8 from the floor, so he wasn't quite 50%. It's still pretty good. But if you watch some of those, this is the first half that we're referring to because we did get only just a stream of the first half. But if you watch the first half, like you said, it was just chucking shots up and not really true plays. And that was a lot of Chad Baker-Mazzaro doing that and Jalen doing that and Chaney doing that too.
So last year's game, they were 22.2% from three. So neither one of those you really want to hang your hat on.
What was the field goal percentage?
I'm rounding up here because it was 46.8. So we'll say 47. They were 60. We'll get round up here too. We'll say they're 68% from free throw. So better in those regards. And they were 70. Let's see, free throw percentage for the game.
72.1. And you know what they say, 49. Free throw percentages are usually, at least from an individual standpoint, they usually say free throw percentages, a high one is an indicator of good shooters. So even though they may have had an off night from behind the arc, that free throw percentage is honestly sometimes more important than that 3-point percentage when you look at, you know, kind of guessing out what the rest of the season might look like from a shooting perspective. So I think overall, I was pretty impressed from just like a basic scrimmage standpoint, nothing to like write home to mom about, but I think this team has a lot more energy and chemistry than last year's did. Even like just watching the scrimmage, you could kind of see that. I think the coolest part about this game was all three of our transfers in led in scoring. So Denver led with 18 points, then Chad Baker-Mazzaro had 15 points, and then Chaney Johnson at 14 points. So that's pretty exciting. That's, you know, people are saying the best way to build a roster in college basketball now is through the transfer portal, even more so than football. So pretty good outlook for hopefully what our transfers look like the rest of the season.
Well, yeah, I mean, absolutely. I mean, you can really evaluate a player in group of five much better. Or sorry, I said group of five, mid-major, than you can from a group of five. And just because a lot of those talent, a lot of the teams they play can be similar teams. Some of those smaller schools in basketball will play some good talent. You can really see just how these guys can square up in those situations given the minutes. I mean, I think Broome is a perfect example coming from Morehead State and just what he's been able to do. And then I think we're going to see a lot more from some of these other guys. Like I said, we already mentioned Chaney with UAH. And another fun fact, speaking of score and percentage, this is from Justin Ferguson, that this is the first time in the Bruce Pearl era that Auburn has scored over 100 in a scrimmage. The last time they did was in 2013. So this is we'll give it a moderately historical rating because, like I said, I mean, it's the first time in a decade they scored over 100. As we kind of said, too, it's an expedition. You don't look too hard in the goods. You don't look too hard into the bads. You just see some things that might lean, not everything, but there should be some things that, all right, these could be patterns. And I think things that we feel pretty good about, as you said, especially offensively, the impact that these new guys are going to have. I think especially Denver, especially Chaney, and there was a lot of hype there. And Chebec Rezar really kind of came up. Obviously, we didn't get to see Aiden, unfortunately. And we didn't get to see a whole lot of what Broome could be improved to. Now, the one that is going to be just the interesting question mark of just from a pure chaos standpoint was KD Johnson. He was all over the place just doing KD things.
Whatever happens this season happens, but I think all of us at the end of the season will be able to say KD Johnson is the biggest personality that has ever come through Auburn basketball. And that's saying a lot because we have had some characters that have come through our program. So he's all over the place out there on the court, sometimes for the better, sometimes for the worse. And yeah, I think he showed that tonight. He hasn't changed for the better. Like, it's a good thing he hasn't changed. It's kind of nice to see that. And I think he's a big part of the team chemistry and the team energy that we have.
Entertaining for sure. Like I said, he did lead the team in steals. That is a very, very important category defensively. So the inverse of that, the other very important one is blocks, which Jalen Williams led with 4. Obviously, that could have changed completely had Broome played more. But oddly enough, Dylan Cardwell.
Double-double.
Well, he didn't 20, have...
Right? I think. Oh, no, he was just shy of a double-double. Sorry, he had 10 boards and 9 points. Almost a double-double.
But he didn't have any blocks. And I'm sorry, this was at the bottom of the sheet. Dylan Cardwell also had 4 steals.
Yeah.
I missed that until right now.
Yeah, so, and oddly enough, his and out of those 10 boards, 6 were offensive boards. Another 4 were defensive boards. So I thought that was pretty interesting.
Yeah. So we're happy to see that out of Dylan. Got 9 points, 2 for 4. Did not attempt a deep shot, which is fine. 5 for 6 from free throw. Very good. So that to me would be I didn't even realize too. Chadwick Rezar was 9 for 9 from free throws.
Yeah, which an indicator of a good shooter is free throws. So look, Chaney is still my sleeper, but Chad Baker Mazar, I'm really excited to see what we get from him at the wing position.
Yeah, and I don't even know at this point if you can even say that Chaney's a sleeper anymore. I think the word on him is officially out. Or it's almost out. I think enough are getting there.
Wanted it to be low key.
But
I will say something interesting that Bruce said kind of leading into this week. I don't know if you caught up on this or not, but Bruce has mentioned now that he's potentially trying to fill a third point guard position with guys on the team. And a lot of people are like, was it going to be Denver? Is it going to be KD? And a lot of people are also like, well, does this mean that is it because Trey and Aiden are struggling on defense in practice, or is it related to the Aiden injury possibly? So there's been a lot of speculation at that one spot. I don't know if we necessarily got a lot of answers tonight, but I do feel like I'm pretty confident in Denver being able to fill that one position if needed there. And I still kind of lean towards it being Denver over KD that Bruce was referring to. I don't know if you had any thoughts there, Memes.
I think either or. I mean, I think you saw KD take it down the court some. I think in situational I think situationally, either or can do it. I don't know how many minutes per game exactly you're going to be looking at that to happen as far as the sustainability standpoint. I know they got a lot of guys that are hybrid that can do some different positionings here. So they may mix up different personnel and just in those moments have somebody running that one. I wouldn't be surprised if it turns into a situation where Aiden becomes this kind of glass cannon on offense, liability on defense, where you've kind of got Trey being a iron curtain on defense, but maybe not as much on the offensive side. I mean, he shot it really well from deep. Driving, not as of now, hasn't necessarily been his strength. Just kind of getting down there, getting buckets, very similar kind of how Wynn did, grabbing the fouls, things like that. That hasn't really been his whole deal. So we just got to see when it really gets to be game time how his game has evolved. And I mean, that may be part of it. It's just there needs to be a little bit of balance with one has one side really well and one has the other. And I think we just got to kind of see what that's going to look like. I heard good things about Trey in the offseason. He came on strong at the end of last season. So I have really no reason to think that there wouldn't be any reason to think that Trey could not take that next step. I think it's a little foolish if you're looking at true freshmen to come in and make these major, major impacts at really just any sport. I think it's great when they can come in and play and start getting minutes and really build up. If you're looking at a guy like Aiden and be like, oh man, he's going to come in here, he's going to do what Jabbar did, one and done. And just don't get too hyped up on that stuff. I mean, he's good.
It's tough his position too. Like point guard is essentially the quarterback position, one of the most important positions on the court. Yeah. It's a lot of pressure.
Don't be spoiled by what Sharif Cooper did at Auburn.
I agree.
And even then, he had his own fair share of struggles on and off the court, and obviously not him off the court, but maybe certain organizations that were nerfing him for playing. Won't get into that again.
One more thing too, that compared to last year's scrimmage, this year's, we were a lot cleaner. So last year we had 19 turnovers and this year we had 12. So that's really encouraging. I do feel like throughout the season we saw those 19 turnovers for the scrimmage. We kind of did see that be actualized throughout the actual season of us having kind of issues protecting the ball. So hopefully that is an indicator of good things to come in the season. Maybe they worked on that in the off season for the guys that were on the team last year that are on the team this year again. So,
well, I will say the biggest thing that we need to see different from this game, I think you can probably agree with me, is those 3-point percentages go up. If they can get to shoot just in the mid 30s, even if they're at like 33%, I'll take it.
Oh yeah, but I would definitely take 33%.
Can't be flirting in the 20s, because I know they ended last season at 31.4, and I think that was padded a little bit because they did start to kind of turn that up toward the end of the year. But overall, they can get it 33, 34, even 35 would be a godsend. That could really, really be huge for this team and what they can do. And it seems like they might just have the guys to do it. Like I said, they brought in these new guys to do it. You saw what Denver did. If that can be his game, then if Denver can be that guy, then that opens up a whole lot of other people on the court. Because if they know that you've got a sharpshooter out there, they've got to defend the team completely different.
I agree.
So let's hope they can do that. And also you need a bench guy who can also do that too. Because then when Denver's out of the game, then you still need to have some deep threat there. So like I said, maybe Jalen will get his groove back there. And then maybe one of these new guys will show that they got a deep shot. And then maybe KD and or Trey, who've done it before, can just slow it down and get that going. So that is all that we have got for this episode. I want to thank Brandy Mack for joining us, as always, to talk a little bit of basketball. As the last basketball episode was titled, Excited for Basketball. I think we all are excited for basketball. Everybody who's watching the show, I am, Brandy is. We are ready to go. Got a big game with Baylor coming up here really soon. We obviously hope that everybody who is injured, whether it be Aiden and Janai, end up healing quickly and bouncing around so they can be back to 100% for this game coming up. I want to thank everybody once again for listening to the show and check us out again. We're going to be talking about Vanderbilt matchup in football, because we're still in football season. I know it's a little basketball season. We still got a little football season left. Got to get to Vanderbilt this weekend. Going to see what Auburn does against them and see if that nearly 2-touchdown spread ends up being a thing. That's what we're talking about next episode. You guys have a good day.